Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broncos are. That was what I was thinking all day on Sunday. How good are the Broncos? But, because they're not an elite team to me way, shape, or form.
But
so the
Miami?
Fact that they were that they went into the fourth quarter, what was it, 18-3?
Mm-hmm.
Like
18-3.
The Patriots weren't even close. They were lucky that they got the score to what it was. So that's what's – I know the Patriots are the Patriots. I know Cam Newton can cam. But I just – I'm not as scared, as you were saying, Bonte, of them as I was a week ago, especially with the way the 49ers played on Sunday night, Joe.
No, and I hear you. We'll get to the Patriots all week. I'm not worried about the Patriots. I'm focused right now on the 49ers and where they're at with their injuries. Is Richard Sherman coming back? Is Tevin Coleman coming back? How is the ankle for Trent Williams? Like, that's the thing that I'm completely monitoring right now is internally. We will look outward at the opponent as the week continues to progress. I'm looking at these Niners and I'm saying, you need to win from within, period. Like, it's that simple. And the key element is control the ball, run the ball. But I'm worried now with Raheem Mostert being out. Can this guy, Jamichael Hasty, you know, take some of the load off? I mean, that's what it is. Look, B, you're looking at me sideways.
Yeah, because we start the show off, you're saying, B, I'm not worried right now. Raheem Mostert's out. We got Hasty. We got this. They'll be fine. All of a sudden, 2 hours later, you're worried. Which one is it?
Things change, right? Pivot, don't panic. Yeah, that's what Joe always tells us,
right? Is hour to hour. A show is hour to hour. It's hour to hour assessments. I mean, Bonte, you just need to worry about
you. But Joe did bring this up earlier. Joe did bring this up earlier, y'all. So if you want to get in on this as well, we're talking about the NFC right now and where the 49ers are at. And are you feeling better about their chances of making the postseason with the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are the number one team right now in the NFC East at 2-4? And the 49ers maybe now are looking pretty good at 3-3 as we head into week 7 against the Patriots. So where are you at right now? How are you feeling about the 49ers? 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. And we can bring what Joe just mentioned and was talking about earlier in the show. Are the 49ers good enough where they are, even with all the injuries? We found out yesterday Ben Garland going to be out for an extended period of time. Raheem Mostert out with a high ankle sprain. Jaquaski Tartt could be out with a groin. Just more and more bodies. Trent Williams has a sprained ankle. We don't know his status yet. Do you want him to do something at the trade deadline? Or are you good with the 49ers standing pat with where they are, next man up?
Yeah.
Let's figure it out. Or do you think they should go get somebody?
Yeah.
888-957-9570.
I've got a couple of names that I'll drop to you guys in a second, but I'm not the only one worried about the injuries. And again, Raheem Mostert's one of my favorite guys on the team right now as far as playmakers go and stretching the field. I am worried, but I have a lot of faith in Jamichael Hasty. I also have a lot of faith in Kyle Shanahan figuring out how to best utilize this young man. Like, I think they were so worried. I really believe this, B. I think they were so worried about him getting snatched off the practice squad that they didn't want to showcase him. And now, out of necessity, they can't even worry about that. Like, you're getting too cute for your own good. Play the young man. He gives you your best opportunity to win right now. I don't know what he is. I don't even know if they know what he is. But I know he's better than what Jerick McKinnon is at running the ball on the outside and in between the tackles.
See, that's a problem if you're worried about, oh, we got to hide this guy. We don't want to...
I agree.
Should be up on the 53-man roster from the get-go.
I agree.
What's going on here with Shanahan and he's running and these roster politics? All right, get your best guys up in the lineup and let's go.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. It looks like somebody's calling us on the road. So I hope we've got the Bluetooth headset on 280. Be careful. I know it's tempting to speed out there, but there are police everywhere. Telmo on the 280. Thanks for listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte, Joe, and Kate. What you got this morning, Telmo?
Well, I am on the Bluetooth, KT, so you don't have
Good.
To worry about that.
That's what we like to hear.
You. Josky, Bonte, nice to listen to you guys in the morning. You know, I feel great after that Rams win because you see what the team has the potential to play to when they play, when they follow the game plan, when they play hard, when they play together. It's a team that I think, you know, even barring injuries, can, on a good day, play with anybody in the NFC. I think, like you mentioned previously, I think you get down the road a little bit into some top AFC matchups. Potentially, you know, if you do make it back to the Super Bowl, that's a whole other ballgame, but that's too far away. My biggest concern right now is the continuing injuries because, like Shasky mentioned, Jermichael Hasty, he's flashed, and I think he has tremendous potential, but there's no replacing Raheem Mostert. And a high ankle sprain for a running back, especially that runs the way he does, is a lot different than it is for Garoppolo. And I think the healing time for him to be able to come back and push off of it and make those cuts and get contact on it as many times as they do per game is going to be significantly longer. So how long is he going to be out? The offensive line is concerning with Garland and who knows, Trent Williams. And then Bosque Tart, you know, he's played really well this year. And on a defense that's already banged up. So I think the Niners can go into New England. You know, like it is Belichick, but I don't think they have enough weapons to hang in there with the Niners if the Niners play with the same kind of heart dedication that they showed this last week. But then after that, you have a tough stretch and missing some key figures. I would like to see them trade and get an edge rusher. If
possible, I'm glad you said that.
I think, like mentioned, against Arizona and Seattle, you're going to need to bring some more pressure on the QBs, or else it's going to be long, long games.
Yeah, great call, Telmo, and I hope all is well. He's a good dude. Telmo out there on 280. Kate, we've been talking a lot about running back, and we'll get back to the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, because I do want to ask you guys about the relationship between Kyle and Jimmy G. We'll talk to Jeff Garcia on that. Let me throw some edge rusher names at you, some people that might be available. Again, this is all speculation, whether it's the NFL Network, Michael Silver, different people that are out there. Ryan Kerrigan, Washington. Redskins, four-time Pro Bowler. He's in the final year of his contract. Washington is obviously reloading. They're completely revamping their entire front by drafting Chase Young. They've got a bunch of young guys. Right. There really isn't a spot right now for Ryan Kerrigan. Wouldn't he look good in a 49er uniform? I don't think it's going to cost you that much. The guy's probably going to walk in free agency. Why not swing a deal and maybe give them Dante Pettis in a fifth rounder for Ryan Kerrigan?
Yeah, well, number one, who the hell would want Dante Pettis? That's almost a slap in the
They need receivers.
Organization. But maybe Washington does take them on because all they have is what? Terry McLaurin at the wide receiver
yes.
spot. They don't have many weapons on the outside. Maybe that does work. Ryan Kerrigan, is intriguing for a sixth or seventh round draft pick, no doubt.
Well, and then here's another name. I'll throw this at you. I'm going back to the Texans, and I keep going back to the Texans because they have no draft picks. Like right now, they have absolutely no draft picks. They're losing their first and second to the Miami Dolphins, right? Beat them that trade last year with Laremy Tunsil. Why not asking him about both edge rushers? First off, J.J. Watt, everyone's going to lose their minds. He's got 1 year after this one left on his deal, $17.5 million, okay? Yes, it's a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. D Ford's not coming back. D Ford is not in the equations. I don't see him coming back this year. I don't see him coming back next year. You need an edge guy. You need another dude on that line with some versatility. J.J. Watt, do you think you could pry J.J. Watt away from the Houston Texans?
I have no idea. I have no idea if you can. It sounds good from the 49ers perspective, but what does Houston think? Do they want to trade a franchise icon? A guy who has basically been the face of the franchise outside of Deshaun Watson for many, many years. If the Texans want to do business, sure, be my guess. But the Texans, for J.J. Watt, are going to want a top three pick. They're going to want a first, a second, or a third round. And the Niners don't have a third round pick in 2021, so you'd have to look at 2022. I'm not trading a top three pick right now for anybody. I just can't do it because of all the free agents the 49ers have on this roster going into the offseason. I can't trade trade draft capital for anybody right now, especially when it comes to the first, second, or third round, Shasky.
Look, Watt's not the same player he was a couple of years ago. He's still really good. I mean, he's really good, and he can give you so much that they need right now. Leadership, the durability. I know he was hurt with the back, but he's been durable right. since then. He's been really, really, really strong. He stuffs the run. I don't know. The other guy on that team, the Houston Texans, is merciless.
What are you giving up for J.J. Watt?
I would give a future second-round pickup for J.J. Watt. Like, that's how good the guy is. He is a good player. I know he's not the elite player he was just a couple years ago. He's so much better than what you have right now on the edge. I mean, Kerry Hyder Jr. is a backup. If you can put him back into a backup position, that would be huge bolst. I mean, huge bolst for this team. They would really use it. The other guy who's intriguing on the Texans, and he signed a four-year deal just a year and a half ago. But again, new management, new situation there. What about Merciless? He's 30 years old. There's 3 years left on the deal, and it's a lot. This gives you somebody where if you did swing a deal, you have him under team control at a pretty reasonable rate for an edge rusher. Does Merciless do anything for you?
Not really. Not really. I mean, again, it's all about price point, right? What do the Texans want to get? What do they want in competition? Are they having a fire sale before the November 3rd trade deadline in the NFL? That's why it's great to have Mike Silver on today. Mike Silver is going to join us at, what, 9:20 today?
Yes.
And maybe Mike Silver has his hand on the pulse of the Houston Texans in figuring out what they're going to do with the J.J. Watt or Whitney Merciless. But they could get raked over the coals if they traded J.J. Watt and Merciless for nothing. And if I'm the 49ers again, I'm not trying to go into the draft again without first-round picks, second-round picks, like they did this year where you had to trade Buckner for a first-round pick. You had to trade up to get Brandon Ayuk and trade draft capital. You had to trade a third-round pick for Trent Williams. I can't do that knowing how many free agents I have on this roster. J.J. Watt, if they want to go take a mid-round pick, a fourth-round pick, or a fifth-round pick, call me.
Yeah.
But I'm not trading a top-three pick for Watt or Merciless.
So the last guy I'll throw at you, because we both agree they need edge pressure, right? They need edge pressure. That is an area of concern. We'll get to the phone lines, 888-957-9570 in 15 minutes. Less than that. Jeff Garcia is going to join us. What about Tack McKinley? We've been talking about the Atlanta Falcons. This guy you can have for like a seventh-round pick. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Richmond guy.
Yeah.
He's local. He fits the scheme. Dan Quinn's running these very similar concepts with the 49ers are running right now. He's a one-trick pony. He's a speed rusher. Boy, they could use a speed rusher right now, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, if they want a sixth or fifth-round pick for him, sure, give me McKinley. But what about this one, Shasky?
Yeah, give it to me.
Why not just bring in Clay Matthews for a workout?
I would love it.
Him be your pass rush specialist. How about Clay Matthews? Just bring him in for the cheap. Hey, workout. We're going to play a 20-25 snap.
I would love it.
It's like Kevin Green 20 years ago.
Great call.
It's like Charles Haley in the playoff game against Green
Elvis
Bay
Packers. Elvis Dumervil a couple years ago.
Exactly.
I mean, he ended up being one of their best pass rushers.
Exactly.
You don't have to be great the whole game. Just can you do one thing really well on third down, which is help us get off the field?
No doubt. Here on the text line, Chasky,
yeah.
From the 650. Cincinnati Bengals, Carlos Dunlap should be able to be traded for the cheap. Carlos Dunlap's another player look, all these players are on the board. And the 49ers probably feel like with the offense that they have, if they could just continue to build chemistry with the weapons and looking at the playoffs this year, look, Tampa Bay's probably the number one. Kate's right. They're probably number one when you look at their team defensively, offensively, and special teams. Seattle's so flawed on defense, but they're undefeated. The Niners can beat all these football teams. But if you play Tampa Bay, you better get pressure on Tom Brady. And right now they have nobody who could put Tom Brady on their back. Jared Goff had all day to throw. He's just off.
But that's why it's a concern for me. Let's go out to the phone lines, and then I want to ask you about Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. Let's go to Jason in Walnut Creek. Jason, step up. You're on the morning roast with Bonte. Kate's having some technical issues. And myself, Joe Shasky.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing? And lady.
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think that, first of all, I agree with Bonta. The Niners need to keep their picks. It sure would have been nice to have a third-round draft pick on a corner or an O-lineman last year. And I think Shanahan was by far the MVP of the game on Sunday night.
Agreed.
And with those kind of, like, gimmick offensive plays he was doing, he can't do that all year. And for what, to go 8-8, I think Jimmy G's job is on the line the next 10 weeks. And if he doesn't show out and he can't complete 20-yard passes down the field on a regular basis, then we need to get out of quarterback purgatory, because he needs to be able to do more than just hand the ball off and throw for 2 yards in the air per attempt.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jason, and thank you for the call. Bonte, this is one of the things which we didn't get into yesterday, but I think we should get into it right now, especially when we're going to have a quarterback on in a couple minutes in Jeff Garcia. Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, what we saw Sunday night, I think there was a lot of advanced numbers, and you watched the game back, and I'm just curious at where you're at as far as what they did Sunday night schematically to try to minimize Jimmy having a 5-7-step drop and delivering the ball down the field. Was that more a functionality of slowing down Aaron Donald? Did that have something to do with the relationship with Kyle and Jimmy and their trust? Or was this just the best way to win this particular week, and this is just going to be a work in progress?
A little bit of everything, Shasky. One, I think Shanahan had to build a confidence back with Jimmy Garoppolo, as we have KT Scott back, and she could jump in here afterwards. It was to build confidence with Jimmy Garoppolo right after that horrendous game against the Miami Dolphins where he got ganked, number one. Number two, yes, there is something to slowing down Aaron Donald. Get the ball out fast. You know the offensive line is having its struggles. You don't want to have Jimmy Garoppolo on 5- and 7-step dropbacks and let Donald get cooking. So to get the ball out fast, you're frustrated Aaron Donald. You let him speed rush upfield. You hit him with the screens behind him. Boom, you're cooking. And they ran right at the Rams to slow him down as well. So you ran right at them. You play physical football. And then two, three, the game plan. This week against New England, they're going to have to stretch the football down the football field. It's just point blank. Belichick, what he does is take away all the checkdowns. He knows that Shanahan wants to play behind the line of scrimmage.
Good point.
They're scheming that up right now in New England, saying, all right, they wanted to run the screens. They want to do the wide receiver screens and the jet sweeps. But you can the football against New England. They don't have a great pass rush. So I think Jimmy will be able to have time to throw in the pocket because they don't have an Aaron Donald in New England. They don't have the speed rushers like the Miami Dolphins or the Philadelphia Eagles on the outside in that
nice
wide nine. What's that?
The Patriots have Winovich, and he's a nice player.
Bad.
But
he's
I agree
bad
with you. Attacking them down the field is going to be one of the elements here. Kate, are you back in the mix? Do we get your technical thing all sorted out?
I think I'm back.
There you go.
Nice.
I think I'm back. What are the chances? What are the chances, guys? 2 power outages in 2 weeks. And lived here for 4 years and have not had a power outage before the past 2 weeks. So knock on wood, this is the last one. But love your conversation about potential trade targets for the 49ers. Holy cats. And love what you're talking about with the game plan. And we've got a ton of sound if you guys want to go to
it.
Al Michaels and Michael Irvin were both on DRK yesterday talking about the game plan. Because the more I thought about it, as Bonte mentioned, watching back the game again yesterday, the more I was just blown away. Yes, it might have been simple. As you mentioned, it was a lot of checkdowns. The 49ers rarely looked down the field. But that was what they needed to do. They game planned
exactly
to beat the Rams. And it could look varied. It could look very different this week against the New England Patriots. But that's what good coaches do. You scheme up whatever you need to do. Again, we're saying it so much. It's so cliche for a reason that it's week-to-week league. But that's why. And the good teams and the good coaches scheme for each game. So, Stephen, I know there's been a lot going on. I don't know if you have a chance to get this. But Al Michaels, who obviously called the game on Sunday, spent a good chunk of time talking about Shanahan's game plan and how they did such a great job neutralizing Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
Well, even the great ones have a night off once in a while, and that certainly was the case. And they schemed him up pretty well and kept him obviously out of the backfield, kept Garoppolo clean, though the 49ers had, you know, a really good plan. And, you know, Chris talked about it, got into it early about, you know, protecting Garoppolo. A lot of stuff was thrown behind the line of scrimmage, a lot of short stuff. When he had to go deep, he picked the right moment to do it. So I think Kyle Shanahan came up with a great game plan, and they were able to neutralize Donald, which is something that rarely happens. And the other guy whose name I barely mentioned last night was Jalen Ramsey, because not only is he one of the top corners in the league, but they've been using him in kind of the way that Seattle is using Jamal Adams. Even though Adams is a safety, they're moving him all over the field. And, you know, in the days when Troy Polamalu was at Pittsburgh, I think, you know, Ty Matthew in Kansas City, those guys may play one position, but they're liable to line up anywhere. And the Rams were doing that with Ramsey in the last couple of games and with great effectiveness. And last night, I hardly mentioned his name. So they took out the two big guys on defense, and they were no factor last night.
Kate, that is pretty spot on from Al Michaels right there.
Right?
And I think, like, we've look, rightfully so, we've dissected the Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan relationship up and down. And I think with good reason. It's the quarterback and the head coach, and they need to be connected at the hip. But I think everything that Kyle did in that game was A, out of necessity based on the personnel that he had out there, and B, out of desperation because they needed to have a victory. And I think that was the best format to win. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, would Jimmy like to throw the ball down the field for 35 yards at a time? Like, and have a yes, of course he would. Would these wide receivers like to have 12, 15 targets each? Of course they would. But you got to beat a divisional opponent given where they were on the season, what they had gone up against, who's out there on the offensive line. Like, they just needed to find a way to get a win and simultaneously build Jimmy's confidence because they're not going anywhere without Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, they need Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, division games are going to be ugly. They won an ugly one on Sunday when you really look at it. They ran the ball. They ran the clock. They chewed up the time, and they wore up down the Rams defense to where in the fourth quarter, Hasty was able to get those 7 to 8 yard carries. Debo Samuel was able to hit the jet sweep and get you 7 yards there. So Garoppolo, look, he is important, but I was convinced now I was convinced that, you know, Shasky, this is on him. I was convinced that Raheem Mostert is the most important player on offense. They just have a different tempo, a different juice when he's running the football. So how do you replace him?
Good point.
Now, do you need the Niners to throw the ball, KT Scott, more than 30 times? That's not a formula for success with this 49ers team, but you may have to do that.
Bonte, I just need the team to win. Yeah, that's all I need. And they can do it however they want. If they want to be like the Chiefs last night and run it a zillion times because the teams are going to sag back and dare them to run, I'm fine with that. If they need Jimmy to throw it down the field this weekend, I'm fine with that. Al Michaels wasn't the only guy on. Do we want to hear a little bit from Michael Irvin? I struggle listening to this guy because of how much hate I have from his Cowboys days. But he does sometimes have some insightful things to say. And he talks about Shanahan's play calling and Jimmy's role in it. So, Stephen, again, I know I'm throwing a lot at you with power outages and everything this morning. But if we have the Irvin cut on Kyle and Jimmy, I'd love to hear it.
Sometimes you can have such a great coach, and you guys do. Shanahan's one of the best. He's such a great coach that he's always right in play calling. And the quarterback can get so used to it that he finds himself falling in love with the first option because the coach is always so great at play calling. And it's a detriment to the development sometimes of the guys that should be going through a process, which I thought that was fascinating. You know what I mean? I thought that was fascinating. And now I can look and see, okay, do I think a guy's really starting to learn and go through a process that he's reading things out and playing it and not just hearing it by what coach is saying? And I was looking for that, and I definitely think that Garoppolo has that. But Shanahan is such a great coach, I think he leans on it sometimes too much.
This is such a great point here, Kate, because I think Bonte and I have talked about the 2017, and people probably get nauseated hearing about it. But part of what made 2017 so great for Jimmy Garoppolo, he was just out there playing. Right. You know what I mean? He'd get to his back foot, he'd look around, boom, he's hitting who he wants to hit. I think one of the great things about Kyle Shanahan is he's a great play caller. I think also one of his big-time flaws is that the guy is so hell-bent on saying, this guy will be open and this is who you throw to, that it's kind of restricting Jimmy Garoppolo's freedom. And it doesn't allow him to be able to just see the field. I think he's so worried about sitting in that quarterback room on Tuesday or Monday and going over the film, like, you miss this guy, you miss this guy, you miss this guy, that he's just like, he's now robotic, almost to like a negative detriment on his career. Like, it has kind of stunted his growth. He's not the same free Jimmy. And like, when we go back to the Jets game, the first half, where he was so awesome, he felt so free. He felt so unrestricted. And that's the Jimmy that I think is a great version of Jimmy Garoppolo. The one where he's just throwing to the guy that Kyle tells him to throw to. I don't like that Jimmy. I don't like that Jimmy at all. And I think Kyle needs to understand that the best version of Jimmy Garoppolo is more of a free Jimmy. Bonte, why are you smiling?
No, because KT stats, this is music to my ears. This is music to my ears. Now, how many arguments and debates I've had about this very point about freeing Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, when he unleashed Jimmy Garoppolo like he did last year in the Superdome, when he unleashed Jimmy G in the first half of the Seattle game in week 17, when he unleashed Jimmy G against the Arizona Cardinals, Oh, my Lord, Jimmy G looks like a top five, top 10 quarterback. Oh, look at Jimmy throw the ball around KT stats. Look at him throw it to Emmanuel Sanders. Look at him throw to Debo. Look at him throw to Bourne. Look at him throw to Kittle. It's all up its end. Shit, this is why I always believed that Shanahan and Brady would have never worked well together. They would have butted heads every single week because Shanahan wants it his way. Sometimes he's arrogant to a fault. Let Jimmy cook. Just let him cook, because at the same time, if we're going to talk about moving on from quarterbacks, if we're going to talk about bringing this guy in and bringing that guy in, don't you want to see what you have? Don't you want to say, hey, number 10, you know what? We're going to open up this playbook. Just go. I want to see how this guy handles it. Well, and I believe Jimmy can handle it, KT Scott.
Well, so that's Vontae, why it comes
sometimes. Just he, it's a detriment to Jimmy Garoppolo. I totally agree with what Shasky had to say. But I'm just, that's all I've been saying. Let Jimmy cook.
I think Kyle would love to let Jimmy cook, Bonte. And I keep coming back to, and I don't think we have it, but Kyle mentioned something to this effect in yesterday's press conference. It comes back to what we were talking about last week, guys. Trust. And you don't just get trust. You can't just say, I trust you. It's something that you have to build with someone over the course of a career, right? And Kyle mentioned it in the presser yesterday. In 2017, a couple of good games with Jimmy at the end of the season. Okay, awesome. We're excited about this guy, but we don't really trust each other yet because it's just been a couple of games. Let's get into 2018. Here we go. He tears the ACL. So losing that time to build the trust. 2019, as he said, that was their first season together. And as the season went on, obviously, they gained more and more trust in each other, and he was able to free Jimmy, as you're saying, Bonte, and let him really go. At the start of this year, the Jets game, same thing, because coming off of last year, and now that trust has been stunted just a little bit because of the injury and because they've had to pull back a little bit. So I think Kyle wants nothing more than to release the Jimmy, to free Garoppolo and let him go, because he knows, we've all seen what he can do when he's 100% healthy and when he's feeling great. But I think, again, they just need more time, because trust is something that you can't force. It just has to be built over time. And hopefully Jimmy stays healthy so that we can get back there.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm seeing on the text line, I think this is a great analogy, and we can get into this. I definitely want to ask Jeff Garcia this. 925, Jimmy G isn't a damn chef. He's more of a baker. The timing needs to be right. So do you understand what they're saying there? Like, when you're a chef, you know, you can kind of make do with whatever recipes you have. There's an artistry to it. Yes, there's a science involved, but there's a lot of artistry to it. It's, you're coloring outside of the lines, whereas baking is very, very specific. And it's an art form to its own. But, you know, you put the cookies in for X amount of time and then you pull them back out. And, you know, the recipe is the recipe. The time that it needs to cook is the time it needs to cook. Do you guys buy that analogy for Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I think he can be more of a chef. It's Kyle that wants him to be the baker.
Yeah, exactly. So the analogy is spot on there. But I agree. Like, people always say, oh, Jimmy doesn't know how to go through his progressions. Jimmy can't do this. Well, when we see Jimmy just play backyard football like he did in 2017, like he did last year when he needed to play backyard football, what do you know? Jimmy can play backyard football. He can just sling that thing. Now, I agree. In the NFL, for the most part, if you throw it 35 to 40 times, you're probably not going to win that football game. You need to have balance. You need to have the running game. But what if a team just takes away the running game? Because New England's going to say, we're going to stack it. We're going to try to shut your run down. We're going to shut down Jamichael Hasty. We're going to try to take away George Kittle. We're going to make number 10 beat us. Shanahan has to trust. That's on Shanahan, KT, to not trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Why pay the man $27 million if you're not going to trust him? Let him go.
You can't force it, Bonte. You can't force it. And somebody who knows about the coach-quarterback relationship better than any of us is with us now to continue this conversation. It is Jeff Garcia, the longtime San Francisco 49er Bay Area guy, joining us now on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Jeff, thanks so much for taking some time this morning. Kate, Bonte, and Joe with you here on the Morning Roast. How's your Tuesday going so far, Jeff?
It's great. Just getting started, but it's all good. How you doing today?
We are doing great, and you are catching us at the perfect time, because we are talking Jimmy Garoppolo, understandably. That's what you always talk about, right, on a football week. And I want to start with this, Jeff. Just blown away by this stat on Sunday night. Did you know, I'm sure you've heard it by now, that Jimmy was the first Niners quarterback to throw for over 200 yards and three touchdowns in a first half of a game since? Do you know the answer, Jeff?
I do know the answer, but I have a there should be an asterisk next to Jimmy's name because, you know, when you throw a 2-inch pass on a to your guy Debo, when it's behind the line of scrimmage, that's why I think it's a 2.2 instead of a 3-touchdown first down.
I love it. Well, obviously, for those of you who don't know, Jeff was the last guy to do that way back in December of 2003. So let's just start there, Jeff, because after a couple weeks of is Jimmy the guy, just wondering, what did Jimmy show you on Sunday night?
Well, I think he showed some mental toughness, first of all. I know that the critics have been out. They've been calling him out about, you know, his ability to process the game and his ineffectiveness out on the field. Granted, hey, guy came back playing with a high ankle sprain. I know what that's all about. I had to do it myself back in the day when you suffer those injuries, and high ankle sprains are no joke, especially for a quarterback when you're pushing off that right foot and creating leverage and creating your hip transition through the throw and all those things that that correlate with accuracy and feeling comfortable in the pocket. And, you know, that first half against Miami was a rough half for him, and he came out of that and he had to hear the naysayers doubt his abilities, and he came back and he played a solid game last week. Now, I think that Kyle Shanahan did an excellent job of play calling, of especially in that first drive, getting the offensive line very involved in basically creating football opportunities where it's not just trying to play smash mouth right down the center of the defensive line. They went sideline to sideline with Debo. Debo had a couple great runs, obviously a touchdown run, quick screen to Kittle. Then you hit him with Raheem Mostert right down the gut. You know, little things, changing it up, getting the ball out of Jimmy's hands quickly, not forcing him to stand back in the pocket, knowing the type of D-line that you were facing in. And really, it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line had not been playing well going into last Sunday night's game, and they definitely stepped up their play. Hey, McGlinchey had a solid game at right tackle. Trent Williams, a lot of questions about him and what he's been doing in the first four or five games of the season. He played better. Tomlinson played better. Those guys as a group, as a unit, played so much better. And when you have those guys playing well, now you're running the football. You saw the balance. I think it was 33 passes and 37 runs or vice versa, something like that, but very balanced that night. And that helps your quarterback. When you can run the football, now you involve play action. Now you involve movement. And you could tell he just felt more comfortable. He was better as far as his footwork was concerned, being able to push off that right leg. I'm sure he still is feeling weakness and not maybe 100% there, but he was better. And then you got to love the run toward the end of the game when he put his head down and he just took on the defender and gave it to him. And I think those are things that your teammates rally around, and they love to see that out of their quarterback, that toughness, that mentality that he's going to battle for that extra yard. Now, you pick and choose your times when you're going to do that, but at that point, hey, it was a statement for Jimmy.
You know, Jeff, the GOAT, Jerry Rice, was on with us yesterday. He said that play scared the hell out of him. He didn't like it at all, but it reminded me of a Steve Young, and it reminded me of you when you would scramble out of the pocket. Just talking about Jimmy G and the rapport that he has with these receivers now. How much effect does that have on a quarterback when you don't get to practice with IU training camp? Debo Samuel due to the Jones fracture. Going to week one, Dante Pettis, Trent Taylor, then George Kittle gets hurt right before halftime. The Jets game, you don't have any of your big-time weapons. It feels like now we're starting to get the timing with those guys. How much does that affect the quarterback, though, when you don't have the practice time with them, especially without a preseason?
Oh, absolutely. It has a huge effect. I mean, you nailed it right there. You don't have four preseason games. Even though you don't play a lot in those preseason games, hey, they're live bullets. You get to play against a defense where you're actually preparing and you're seeing your guys run the routes that they need to run and get the depth that they need to get. And when you don't have any of that, and then you're suffering through some injuries, not having the first game and the first probably and the week, couple weeks prior to that first game of working with Ayuk, working with Debo, then like you said, the other guys. You lose Kittle. You know, you got to give it to Kendrick Bourne because that guy has been the consistent one of the group. And it seems like whenever he's called upon, the guy delivers, whether it's down near the red zone in the end zone area or just on a third down over the middle. And he doesn't get really any of the recognition as being that guy that's been the constant, right? But you're right. When you talk about timing and rhythm and guys being on the same page, understanding each other, especially with a new guy like Ayuk, how's he going to run routes when he gets pressed and can't get off the line as quickly? Is he going to cut his route short? Is he going to still get to his depth? Because all of those things are important. The timing is so important. So when you finally start to have that, we talked about in our pregame show Sunday on NBC Sports Bay Area about there's no excuses for the offense now. They're getting back healthy. The defense has suffered tremendous injuries that are hurting them, that are costing them, especially when you lose your pass rushers. But on the offensive side, you had your offensive line pretty much intact. You were starting to get your receivers, your skill guys healthy. Mostert was back in, and that's a tough loss if we lose him again for whatever time length it is because he's so explosive. But when you have those guys healthy, like, what's the problem here? And so, yeah, week in and week out, getting that consistency in practice on a daily basis helps the quarterback from his mentality of how he's going to approach and how he's going to deliver to his guys and just that timing and accuracy that he needs to have and that trust more than anything with those guys.
All right, the Gilroy legend with us, Jeff Garcia, San Jose State's finest, one of the best. I mean, gosh, we wish you were still playing to this day, Jeff. I mean, I mean it.
I'm telling you, I can play.
I know you.
Oh, we know you believe that, Jeff.
We know you can. I mean, believe me. But I want to ask you about.
I'm thinking about calling Dallas. Actually, they
look
like they need
help. Really? I think you're better than Dalton right now. There's no question about it. With those receivers, you would do dirt.
I'm telling you, you got a running back and three top receivers in the league. I mean, gosh, there's no excuses there.
All right, let's get back to Shanahan and Jimmy G, though, because I want to ask you, you brought something up about the passing, especially the stuff behind the line of scrimmage. I think 234 of the 270 or so yards that Jimmy threw for were, like, behind the line of scrimmage or yak yardage, I guess, basically. So it was a lot of catch and run. When you see that, when you just see the style of how they played on Sunday night, to you, is that more, hey, we're trying to win the game here? Or is that more like a functionality of, I'm trying to limit Jimmy Garoppolo's exposure to throwing a Jimmy Ohno throw down the field? Like, how do you kind of delineate how much of that is by necessity and how much of that is, hey, this gives us our best chance to win tonight, but I might deviate from that next week?
Yeah, I think it's a game plan situation. I think you go into the game against the Rams, you see a team that gets after the quarterback, sacked the quarterback 8 times the week before, 20 sacks on the season, and you're a team that's been getting sacked, 18 sacks in 5 games going into that game. So you want to protect your quarterback. You want to not give those guys on the defensive side, especially Aaron Donald, which the offensive line did an excellent job against him on Sunday night. I mean, you talk about limiting a guy and his presence when this guy is just a game changer and a menace to opposing offenses. But Shanahan did a great job of just, hey, not allowing that to disrupt the pattern of the offense. And like I said, using the sideline to sideline sweep, getting that defensive line running, getting the timing of how things are working, changing it up every single down, getting the ball out quickly. Now you're hitting them with the run. Now you're hitting to the sideline. Now you're up tempo back on the line of scrimmage. All those things, really a game plan type situation. There's going to come a game, and maybe it's this week against New England where they stack the box and they're going to stop the run and they're going to force you to beat us one-on-one outside, and it's a pretty good defense in New England. So, you know, there's going to be some throws that are going to have to be taken down the field. The good thing is this is a defense that Jimmy's used to seeing. I mean, he went against his defense in practice all the time, so he knows what they're all about. And I think Kyle will game plan accordingly. But I really believe that last Sunday night's game was about, hey, we're playing the Rams. We know how disruptive they can be from a defensive line pressure standpoint. We're going to take that pass rush out of the game, especially early we're gonna frustrate them, and we're gonna control the ball. And that's what they really did. Hey, the best defense for you is a ball control offense. They controlled the clock in a great way last Sunday night. It'd be great to be able to do that every single weekend, but no, game plan's going to change. Hey, what they have to do down the field or behind the line of scrimmage, that's going to change. And that's the great thing about Kyle. He does a great job of putting his guys in position to be effective and be successful.
Jeff, as always, it's great hearing from you. The Gilroy legend, as Joe calls you, NBC Sports Bay Area analyst now, and hopefully a frequent visitor to the Morning Roast here on The Game. Awesome, awesome catching up with you. Thanks so much for the time, Jeff.
Thanks for the time. You guys have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You too, Jeff.
That is the Jeff Garcia, and like all guests, he appears on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on 95.7 The Game. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com to find a dealer in your area. All right, we're going to step aside for just a minute and come back and talk about a lot of what Jeff laid down for us. And be sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game all day. Cam Inman joining Steiny Guru and Dibs at 11:30 today. Peter King up with Damon Ratto and Kolsky at 2:30. And the Morning Roast with Bonte, Joe, and Kate will be back right after this, right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I think we got it figured out, guys. The Technological Tuesday fun continues here on The Morning Roast. It was last Tuesday, too, when this happened, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When things just went crazy. So I know there's Taco Tuesday, Two for Tuesday, and apparently Technological Tuesday as well. So thank you both for hanging on to things. Great to catch up with Jeff Garcia on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. And let's get back to talking about what we were before Jeff came on, right? Because I was really enjoying that conversation about the trust and how it's building between Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. And where we go from here. Bonte saying, free Jimmy G. Just open up the playbook. Let him go. We're going to have him throw downfield this week. I agree with that, but I think that something that takes time, and they haven't had that much time together, even though it looks like they've been together for a number of years. They had five games at the end of 2017. Jimmy tore the ACL in 2018. Last year was their first full year together, and they started off this year, and then Jimmy got hurt again. So I think that they're still really in the beginning stages of building the relationship that hopefully one day gets to look like what the coach who we're going to see this Sunday had with his previous quarterback, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, right, Joe? I mean, that's what everybody strives to get to, or something like that when it comes to the quarterback-coaching relationship, where it appears, at least from the outside looking in, that they're so in sync that they're almost unbeatable.
Yeah, especially, you know, when you look around who's had longevity, who's had success over a long period of time. You know, as much as I dog Drew Brees, Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been very, very, very successful for a very long time. And I think there's some synergy between the two of them. Drew Brees knows what plays Sean likes to run in certain situations. Sean Payton understands which plays suit Drew Brees' skill set at given times. And they've done a really good job crafting their roster to surround Drew Brees with specific playmakers that highlight his strengths. So, for example, Drew Brees doesn't throw the ball down the field. So what do? They get this guy, Michael Thomas, who is one of the best slant receivers the game's seen in the last 20 years. Like, the guy has vice grips for hands, and he's so strong and so tough. He's not a like stretch the field type of a receiver, but he's perfect for that. You look at Atlanta, even though that they've been falling off, you know, a lot lately, but they were great for a period of time, mm-hmm. because Julio Jones and Matt Ryan were like the perfect pair together, and they did a great job maxing the skill set of Matt Ryan's arm and how far he wanted to throw the ball with Julio Jones, where this guy can do anything and everything. I look at Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. I'm not sure what Kyle wants Jimmy to be. I'm not even sure that Kyle knows what Jimmy's 100% strengths are. Like Bonte, right now, when you're looking at this, and you're Kyle Shanahan, how would you cater the team to best highlight what Jimmy does best?
Well, one, I'm never going to be Shanahan, right? He gets paid the big bucks. This is his job to figure out. You've had Jimmy Garoppolo in the building for 2017. if you don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is by this point, that something's wrong.
Yeah,
here.
But what does he do? What do you think he does the best? I'm not saying what. What do you do? Vontae Hill thing.
He's accurate. Okay. He has a quick release. He has good pocket presence.
Okay.
And when you need a drive, he makes the drive. He can make throws.
I agree.
We've seen him make every throw on the football field except the deep pass. Like, oh, this perception that he can only throw between the hashes. We've seen. What about the route to Emmanuel Sanders last year on Halloween? The out route, right on the dime. The post route there. We've seen him make post corner routes. This guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, can sling it around. Now, I'm not saying you need to, KT Scott, I'm not saying, you know what, just open up the playbook, because I get it. The injuries will limit that. No doubt about it. But there's going to be games here in 2020 where Jimmy's going to have to win it with his right arm. Every team goes through this in a season. Every team, where the running game gets stuffed, where things are not going your way, where you may fall behind and you need to pass the football to get back into the game. This week, their passing game may be the Niners' best running game. And what I mean by that is first down passing. Can you get 7 here to set up 2nd and short? Can you get 8 here to set up 2nd and short and 3rd and short, Kate? That's where they have to limp. That's where they have to win football games here. So the fact that Shanahan has this trust issue, and whether or not I see here on the text line, the Chill Not Nobody text line, Cal never wanted Jimmy. He never wanted Jimmy. Huh? That doesn't make any sense to me. So if he doesn't want Jimmy, don't you want to see what you have at the quarterback spot before you move off of him? Because everybody's talking about, hey, moving off of Jimmy G, Jimmy
whoa,
G.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
All I'm saying, Kate.
That was last week's conversation.
That was last week's conversation.
And I'm not questioning the trust between Jimmy and Kyle. I think it is already there. The basis of it is there. All of us have been through this in life, whether it's right. with a friend, whether it's with a significant other, whether it's with a family member. Like, trust is something that you have to build, and it just takes time. You cannot rush it. So I understand what you're saying, Bonte. He's been here since 2017. Right. He's got to know by now. The trust has to be there. But it comes through those experiences, right? Those challenges. Not just because you're around someone doesn't mean you trust them. Like, you have to go through the Super Bowl losses. You have to go through the high ankle sprains. And how's this guy going to bounce back after he looked awful against the Dolphins? So I think Sunday night helped their relationship a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take a whole lot more than this. I think it was a great step in the right direction. Now he's going to need 5 or 6 or 7 more steps in a row now. Maybe this gauntlet of games that we're coming up against right now, maybe that will finally put them to the level where, okay, I know, hands down, regardless of if injuries happen in the future, I can trust you now.
But see, Kate, that's what I don't get. That's what I don't get about this whole situation is the guy comes in midseason. I don't want to bring up 2017. We know the record. We know what he did. But he did it without knowing the playbook. So then everybody said, oh, now he has an all-season to grasp the playbook. All right, it lasts 3 games because he tears his ACL. But he got more time in the film room. Hell, what happened to the time he spent with Mike Shanahan watching the film all offseason? Remember, that was a big talking point? Oh, he was studying with Kyle's dad, Mike. Mike, oh, he's going to be fine. You go through last year, and you think about the wars they went through last year in this first full season, and now here we are in 2020 asking the same questions like, well, he needs more time. No, no, he shouldn't need more time. Shanahan should know what type of quarterback he has in Jimmy Garoppolo, especially after going through all the battles he did last year in very big football games.
It was a year, John Madden. It was a year, right? How long did it take Aaron Rodgers to find his footing? 2, 3, 4, 5 years? He was getting injured, and people were saying, this wasn't the guy. I can't believe we pushed Favre out the door waiting for this guy. And then finally things started to click. 1 year seems like a lot in 2020 because all of us are so impatient. But, Joe, I know that it's frustrating, Bonte. I hear your frustration, but I think it's going to take more than just one season.
Well, and I think the other thing is that life is not a straight line. I don't think any relationship is a straight line, whether that's straight up, straight down. Like, it's ebbing and flowing, right? And to think that the quarterback head coach situation in any building is just peachy keen all the time and we're just plowing forward and we're only getting better, I don't think that's realistic. I think just like any relationship in life, it's got its ups, it's got its downs, and you're constantly maintaining it. And I think that Kyle and Jimmy's relationship is no different than any of those. Right now, where they're at in their relationship is a weird place, right? Jimmy's a little hurt. The offense, the line at least that's supposed to be protecting him, is very dinged up. I think Kyle's feeling a certain way about him. Probably Jimmy's got certain things hanging over his head. Like, how long am I going to be here? Is this my career on the line? Am I stuck with this guy? Is this guy trying to diminish me or devalue me as I could get cut on April 1st? I'm trying to win games for this organization. How much more do I have to prove to this guy that I'm the dude and I'm the guy he needs to stay with? Like, this is no different than any relationship that you have in your personal life, right, Kate?
Yeah, and the 510 brings up a pretty good point, guys. If you want to get in on the conversation on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570, or you can call in as well, same number, 888-957-9570. Fourth and two.
Yeah.
Biggest play of the game at that point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle chose to throw the ball. Nope. That's enough trust for me.
And I think that was my biggest play, Kate.
I think that's what you talked about all yesterday. That was your game changer yesterday, Bonte. Mm-hmm. So I think that is proof that there is trust between them. I don't think it's to the level where if they've been doing this together for 5 years and won a Super Bowl together, that trust would be. But I think it is proof that that Kyle trusts him. And getting to something you just said, Shasky, I think that because we know that Kyle is so analytical and is such a thinker, that I wouldn't be surprised if maybe his gut is telling him, oh, man, I want to unleash Jimmy a little bit here. Mm-hmm. But he's also thinking, but he's coming off the tough week, and I want to make sure he's building that confidence going into New England and Green Bay and stuff. So I imagine there's a lot of things warring inside the head of Kyle Shanahan.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point here, Kate. And B, I want your opinion on this. There's a tug and pull when you're a head coach, right? Especially when you're kind of the de facto GM. There's the, okay, I have to have the long view. Mm-hmm. And then there's the, I got to win right now. And that's what makes it so difficult for whether it's Mike Holmgren, Kyle Shanahan before when it was Mike Nolan. When you're the player personnel guy and you have final say on the 53, and when you're also the head coach, there's this long view. And I want to take the best player available who can help my whole team. And then there's this other thing on the side of your other shoulder saying, no, we have to win this week right now. Right. And I think it's a really difficult vortex that Kyle finds himself in. And this is why outside of Belichick, who's a unicorn, most successful situations are there's an independent czar of football operations and player personnel, and then there's the head coach. And yeah, they work in tandem, but one guy ultimately has the say on the player personnel, and one guy has the ultimate say on game day, play calling, and things like that. And very rarely can one dude do both jobs. And mm-hmm. I think that Kyle's having a really difficult struggle, and it's not just Jimmy. Dante Pettis, the Tevin Coleman situation, mm-hmm. his insistence that Weston Richburg is the guy. Like, there's a pattern here. I think it's a little too much to ask for him to do both jobs simultaneously. That's all.
Yeah, no, that's something that I've said over and over and over. Shanahan has full autonomy of the franchise. If he's making all the decisions, and Shasky, go ahead and throw it to the legal because I want to finish this point.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ in HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Bonte Hill, back to you.
Before we get to the two-minute drill, this is what I've been saying about Jimmy, let Jimmy cook. And it's not all about...
every time.
I know, it's crazy, KG Scott. I love it,
I'm
though.
I'm a chameleon.
But look, it's just, when I say let Jimmy cook, I don't mean just throwing the ball around 40 times a game. That's not what I mean. I'm saying let this guy marinate with these weapons that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo's in his second year. Ayuk's a rookie. Quiddle's in his fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Let him marinate with this weaponry and let them grow together. What's wrong with that? People have been, for the last year, starting after the Minnesota game, oh, we're so quick to move off of him. He's not Kyle's guy. I'm saying he is the guy. I believe he can be the franchise quarterback of the 49ers. Does that mean he's Tom Brady? Does that mean he's Aaron Rodgers? No, we're talking about the greatest of the greats.
Exactly.
I don't need him to be the greatest of the greats. I need him to move this football team. And when you see it last year, I know the defense forced a lot of turnovers. They've averaged 30 points a football game and had Deebo as their number one receiver for a long, long time on that team alongside George Kittle. I mean, let Jimmy cook. I'm saying let him marinate with this team and let him cook and grow with this team and let's see what he has here. We still don't know who Jimmy Garoppolo is. Let's see what he is.
Well, and I think one of the things that makes it really difficult right now is it's not the same team as last year. Like last year, you could do and get away with things because your defense was so elite and you had a lot of help. I mean, for the most part, I know the tackles missed time. I know Juszczyk missed time and Kittle missed time and they didn't have a second receiver. Like, just I feel like the situation this year is a way more harsh, right? Like, yeah. this is what's that movie, The Revenant? You know what I mean? Like, this is right. Jimmy is out there. He just got attacked by a bear. He's not at 100% health. Like, last year, the situation was more optimal, I guess, right? For him to succeed and thrive.
Well, they've had how many quarters? I mean, has it even been a full game of having Mostert
exactly.
and Kittle and Debo and Ayuk healthy? We thought that we got it a couple weeks ago, but obviously Jimmy wasn't right in the loss to the Dolphins. And they had it for a half on Sunday.
Right.
And how did they look in that first
21
half?
21 points!
They looked incredible in the first half. They looked like they could potentially be one of the top teams in the NFC and be in the conversation when it came to the postseason against teams in the AFC. So I think that's the thing. I'm so glad, Bonte, that we're now getting to you wanting to say, let him cook, because I feel like as much as we want all of it to be happening right now, it's just, man.
KT.
It's testing our patience. I know 2020 as a whole is testing our patience.
KT, I've been the biggest Jimmy Garoppolo supporter in this region. I've become the honorary member.
Right, Joe?
I got to it.
But he earned it.
Shasky's been the guy who's he doesn't hate Jimmy G.
I'm not even anti-Jimmy, though.
He doesn't hate Jimmy G, but he said, I need more. I need something better.
I think it comes to your trust, too, Joe. I think you're still questioning. Well, you're just waiting for Jimmy to give you a reason to go all in on your trust of him. That's how I've read the situation far. And you're not there yet. You need more from that side.
I'm all in, Kate.
Look,
I'm all in on the Garoppolo train.
Okay.
We know that. But I'm saying, like, where I'm at with Jimmy is, I truly believe in my heart, sitting in the end zone, watching the play calling down the stretch of the Kyle doesn't trust him. And that's the way I've been feeling the whole time. And I think the whole offseason, everyone thinks I'm nuts and I'm diluting Jimmy and Hannah. B, we were sitting there watching the Super Bowl together. I said, if this guy can pull off this unbelievable drive.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.